I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
No stronger.
Pull up a chair, pour yourself something to drink. Holy hour of power. Two guys, part of the CIA, Catholics in Action, part of the FBI, Firm Believers In, part of the UFC, Ultimate Fighting Catholics, part of the MMA, Mother Mary's Army. Terry, how you doing, buddy?
Other than that, what other team are we on? We're on Jesus's team, brother. I'm doing good.
Jesus.
Jesse, I'm so excited to be alive in this time of history because I say that God is going to raise up many saints to fight modernism that's inside
the church. He's doing it. He's doing it.
I see it. Yeah. So, but you know what we try to do every single day, for those who are brand new listeners from, I guess we were at three different parishes over the weekend. If you're just tuning in for your first time out of Orange County or L.A., thank you for joining. This is, this isn't a program about right versus left. It's a program about right versus wrong. It's our Catholic faith. It's what Jesus Christ and his bride has taught for centuries. Jesse, we open up our Bible for some soul food. It's the readings from Daily Mass. And Matthew chapter 7 is a chapter that I read and I say, wow, fundamental teachings of the church. Can you read that gospel to us, brother?
Yeah, Terry, a lot of people are going to get Catholic schizophrenia right now because a lot of Catholics have drank the Kool-Aid and believe in universal salvation.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody gets canonized at funerals.
We've all heard it.
You know, everybody's going to make it at the very end. Really? Okay, nope. Let's see what our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to say.
You got it.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, 12, and 14. The scripture says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces." By the way, a lot of the commentaries that I read from the fathers of the church say that giving your pearls to swine is either the Holy Eucharist, it's the reference to the Holy Eucharist. Yeah. You can't give the Holy Eucharist to people that are in a state of mortal sin, okay? And also, other fathers say that sharing the word of God and people that refuse to listen, you know, they become like swine, like the Gentiles, like non-believers. Just kind of like wipe your feet off the mat and move on and quit tugging on green fruit and go to somebody else that's going to be receptive to the gospel. We continue. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate.
I thought it was a wide gate, I've been told. The Bible doesn't say wide.
The wide gate is mentioned also, but let's see the context.
Okay.
For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction.
What the Bible says.
That's a reference to hell.
Yep.
And those who enter it, enter what gate? The wide gate, are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. The Greek word is zoe, which means eternal life. And those who find it, find what? Eternal life, are few. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Terry, see, we're not sola scriptura
Bible
Christians.
Alone. Nope.
That's the era of Protestantism, all 40,000 denominations.
Yep.
As Catholics, we have the benefit of knowing what God's word says.
Amen.
through several modes. A, you can have an infallible statement of the Pope teaching on a certain scripture. You can have an ecumenical council proclaim something like the Council of Trent codified many Bible verses, said this is what this verse means.
That's right.
Or you can have what's called scripture interpreting scripture. That's another technique that the fathers of the church and the scholastics talk about, that one scripture that's clear interprets another scripture that's not that clear. And then we have a fourth hermeneutic principle of interpreting and understanding exegetically what the Bible says. And that is known as sacra traditio, sacred tradition. So we would look at what, like, the majority of the fathers of the church, what they would say about certain passages or themes, And that would be called sacred tradition, or what's called the unanimous consent of the fathers. And on this topic, Terry, here in today's gospel, where Jesus Christ, let's just be honest, you don't have to have a PhD to understand this, just a PhD in common sense.
Yep.
He's saying that very few people will be saved and many people will be damned. In fact, Terry, the fathers of the church and let me quote one doctor, St. Alphonsus Liguori, doctor of the church.
Yep.
He says, the greater part of men choose to be damned rather than to love Almighty God. Here's another one, St. John Vianney. The number of the saved is as few as the number of grapes left after the vine pickers have passed.
Not many.
How about St. Philip Neri?
Yep.
So vast the number of miserable souls perish, and so comparatively few are saved. How about St. Vincent Ferrer? Many religious go straight to hell because they do not keep their vows. How about St. Louis de Montfort? The number of the elect to heaven is so small, that were we to know how small it is, we would faint away with grief. St. Louis de Montfort. And when you look at Jesus' words, Terry, every time he talks about soteriology, which means the study of salvation, he says that himself, he doesn't teach universal salvation or the fact that dare we hope that everybody will be saved. Let me quote you Jesus, because remember, St. Thomas says scripture interprets scripture. So what does Jesus say in other passages? I just quoted you Matthew 7:13. In Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, who's them? The many. I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. So who's he going to say that to? According to the verse of the scripture, the context, he's going to say that to many. I never knew you. Here's another one. Matthew 22:14. Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
What? Is this microphone on? Is that? It's absolutely on. How about one more?
Yeah.
Luke 13:23, our blessed Lord says, and someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? So they asked him, Terry, they asked him the heart of this question, the debate. Lord, will those who are saved be few? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able.
Wow.
Jesse, Terry, you can't read the words of Jesus and come up with this wacky idea that everybody's going to heaven and, dare we hope that everybody will be saved at the end because hell is going to be emptied at the end of time and everybody will go to heaven.
Jesse, we could spend the whole hour giving quotes. St. John Chrysostom in the 4th century said, the road to hell is paved with bishop's skulls. What? And I could go and give you more quotes on this, but also my point is this. You and I live in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what the name of this show, right?
Amen.
We live in a fallen world where immorality is rampant. Think about abortion, just on that issue. Homosexual so-called marriage. All of these things are offensive to God, right? And how many of these people are going to, are living a life according to these scriptures? You see, we know from experience that the Bible is correct in saying that how narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We see it in our own lives if we open our eyes. But what happens is there are certain guys out there wanting to tickle our ears that St. Paul talks about, saying things that you want to hear. I want to hear that everybody, hey, when grandma died, Jesse, I want to know that my mom, my grandma, we all went to heaven. Tell me that they went to heaven. Oh, of course they went. Don't worry about it. See, that's fake mercy. You know what you say when my mom died? Mom, we're going to have masses, Gregorian masses offered for you. And she knew that. My dad, the same thing.
Yeah,
rosaries. You know, we're going to be praying. I still pray for my mom and dad's soul, Jesse, even though,
Same here.
If they're in heaven, guess what, folks? Your prayers are going to go to someone else who is in need of that. Jesse, one comment I will make on this. Do to others what you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Yesterday, I got some complaints. They said, Terry, Jesse, man, you guys are hard on people who live with same-sex attraction. And I said, well, let me tell you something. If I was living a life that was a life not according to the gospel, I would want you to come up to me and tell me to repent and turn away from sin and accept Christ's teachings. That's mercy. What's not mercy is, hey, you know what, Jess? Father James Martin tells them, they're all okay, you know, don't worry about it. If you want to be a man or woman, just whoever you are, God loves you the way you are. And I say, baloney. He loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to live in union with him. So when I say, when the Bible says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, I'm calling people out like I'm calling myself. When I'm a sinner, hey, dude, I go to confession a couple times a month. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Now, I will say this. Sometimes people are going to say, Jesse, you guys are kind of hard on fornicators, adulterers. Well, you know what? The only reason I'm hard on them is because I love them. I want them to go to heaven. But if I didn't love them, you know what I'd say? Continue to fornicate. Continue to commit adultery. Continue to live in sin. Who cares? I don't. But we don't do that because we love you.
To quote Mother Angelica, those who tell you lies do not love you.
Exactly.
Those who tell you the truth, they do love you.
Well said.
Thank you, Mother Angelica. And I believe that one day she'll be raised to the altars
of
heaven.
Big time.
If she's not there right now.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, Jesse, I want to take this article from the Holy Father, who we pray every day for, about an interview that he did that is really confusing at best. And some of the things he's saying, we need to pray harder for our Holy Father because he's supposed to confirm us in the faith. And that's what I pray every day, that he will do that. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess says I'm fired up. I'm just fired up because I want to share the gospel. This is not Catholicism light, okay? Turn the dial if you want Catholicism light. But I want to say 40 years ago, Jesse, we were preaching on that message you just talked about, salvation, in Our Lady of Fatima in upstate New York. I was in a Franciscan monastery, and I got permission to leave to go with a priest named Father Tangen to do a parish missions on Our Lady of Fatima's message. And I was recording the talks, and he was talking about what you just talked about, Jesse, universal salvation. And the Jesuit priest came up to me on the side of the altar and said, "He can't say that. Stop it." And I'm saying, "Father, I'm just recording the, you know, I'm in nobody. I'm like 21 years old." And he says to me, "No, he can't do that." So he goes up there, he grabs the mic from the priest and says, "Your mission is over. Get out." So we had to pack our bags, our books, our tapes, and leave. And I remember going to a barn where we had stashed our Catholic teachings. And he said, "Terry, get used to it. When you preach Christ and Him crucified, the teachings of the church, there's going to be a lot of people in the church that don't want to hear this." Well, I say that 40 years later, and that's what I've been doing for 40 years, so I can't change. And that's why I say, Jess, we have to preach Christ and Him crucified. We got to preach the teachings of the church, even if nobody else is. Now, Jess, LifeSite News has an article about Pope Francis. He says,
"What's the title of it?
If we saw irregular couples, gays as God's children, then things would change a lot." Okay, I want to get into that because Father Martin said that exact same thing, and guess what? He sees homosexuals, active homosexuals, as not a problem. So I want to understand. It's confusing to me because this is a television interview with a Mexican journalist, and he said that if we saw irregular couples. What's irregular couples, everybody? I'm going to call it adultery.
Adultery.
You know, Jess, I'm tired of that word. I'm not going to use it. Irregular
union.
It's not
a biblical word. No. I don't know why we keep using it. Yeah. I don't know why the bishops keep using it, yeah. The Holy Father. I don't know why.
And you know, when he says gays, as I'm happy. Homosexuals.
He's falling into political correctness. Yeah. That's not a word that's in part of the Catholic lexicon.
Nope.
Homosexual is, or sodomites.
Right.
But that word gay is a politically loaded word that's invented by the LGBTQ community. We shouldn't be used it as Catholics, Terry.
And Jesse, I'm not, I love Pope Francis as he's our vicar of Christ, but you know what? I want him to confirm me in my faith. This is not confirming me in my faith. Universal salvation doesn't confirm me in my faith. What confirms me in the faith is biblical teachings that have been passed on for the centuries on what the Catholic Church teaches. So let's get into this, Jess. Go ahead.
Here's the meat and potatoes. Pope Francis said in a television interview with a Mexican journalist that if Christians were to convince themselves that homosexuals and those in irregular relationships are children of God, things would change a lot. I don't understand what that means.
Because
that's an ambiguous statement. I'll tell you why. Because if you're a baptized homosexual or lesbian, you are a child of God.
Of course.
So we're not quibbling. Orthodox Catholics that are faithful, we're not quibbling whether homosexuals are children of God. If they're baptized, they are metaphysically children of God.
Absolutely.
What we're quibbling is that we should not marvel or applaud or cheer their sodomite relationship.
Sinful actions.
Or their infertile relation. They're sinful actions. Yes. These are disordered actions.
The catechism says.
This doesn't conform with the natural law. It doesn't even conform with what John Paul II calls the sexual complementarity of the human body.
Parts don't fit, buddy.
So the Pope said here, but they are all children of God. We are all children of God.
That's right.
All of them. I can't rule out anyone. Okay. That's not the question that she was asking, Holy Father. In other words, Terry, here's what I see. Really, the Pope evaded the question because she's not asking Valentina, the journalist, is not asking the Holy Father if homosexuals are children of God. That's not the question. She's asking if people in mortal sin living that lifestyle can receive Holy Communion. And he's not answering it, Terry. He didn't answer it. Now he says, quote, nor can I tell a person that his behavior is in accord with what the church wants. Okay? Let me stop there. I look to the Pope to teach me, to govern, and to sanctify me.
That's it.
So this answer, it's a non-answer. It's an answer, non-answer. he's the one that was given the keys by Jesus through Peter to teach us, to govern us, to sanctify us, and to confirm us in our faith. He says, I can't tell a person that his behavior is according to what the church wants.
Then who can?
I would take issue, Jerry. He does have the authority. He is the final authority on earth. So that answer was, again, it's ambiguous.
Yeah.
It's a statement that betrays his office, because he's the one, if anybody can make a judgment, he's the one that can. He says, but I do have to tell him the truth.
Thank you.
That's a good deal. You are a child of God, and God wants you that way. Stop. That's, I don't understand that. That's ambiguous. Okay, you're a child of God to the homosexual.
Yeah.
And God wants you that way?
That's ambiguous.
What way? Does he want you to be normal, ordered in your sexual appetites? Or does he want you to be disordered in your sexual appetites? So that's ambiguous. Then he says, now get right with God. Now, I wish you would have been more precise. And I think, Terry, I think we try to be more precise. We try to use the church's lexicon. We say every day, live in a state of grace. Then we define
what
that means.
We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so when you say get right with God, I mean, that's kind of what one guy says to another guy in a bar over a Budweiser. Hey, dude, get right with God. In other words, people need to be taught. What does that mean? Holy Father, this is a teaching moment. You should have said, live in a state of grace, and then define what that means. Get right with God. What does that mean? Then he says, I have no right to tell anyone that he's not a child of God because he would miss the truth. Well, that's not the question. She's not asking. Alexa Valentina, the journalist, Valentina, is not asking if homosexuals are children of God. That's not what she's asking. She's asking them, he's asking about their particular lifestyle, if it's compatible with Christianity.
Yeah, answer then the question.
He's not answering it, Terry. Then he says, nor to tell anyone that God doesn't love him. That's not the question, Holy Father. Then he says, but God loves them all. Well, we agree. The Bible says that. He even loved Judas. So then he goes, and I'll flip it over to you.
Yeah.
And he says basically this. If you want to know my answer, because I know what you're getting at, Valentine. I know what you want me to talk about. He just says, my answer's in Amoris Laetitia. So if you want to know my answer about, you know, should homosexuals or lesbians go to Holy Communion? Because that's what you're really asking me. And I'm not going to answer. I'm not answering. I'm dodging your question. Hey, just go to my exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. And he says, he calls on inquirers to consult the priests and thus seek a way forward. Terry, in other words, here's what I've seen in 86, 87, when I had an awakening and started learning the teachings of the church.
Yes.
Here's what I've discovered.
Yes.
That if you shop around, you'll find Father for Progressive, you'll
of
find
course.
Father Modernist to tell you what you want to hear. And so that's not a good statement. I think he should say, again, going back to the teachings of the Catechism, John Paul II, and everybody before him, if you're in mortal sin, I am the Pope telling you, no, you can't receive Holy Communion based on St. Paul the Apostle in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Terry?
Jesse, I can only say this. I've never read about a saint who wasn't clear about the teachings of the church.
That's what we call them, saints.
Yes, that's what we call them, saints, because there's no ambiguity. What you just quoted, St. Alphonsus Liguori and doctors of the church, these are our models. Now, I want to just say the Pope also said he was angry over the media reports that he suggested that parents should consult a psychiatrist for counseling children with same-sex attraction. He said that what he meant was a professional, adding that parents have a right to recognize that son as homosexual, that daughter as a homosexual. Let me back up. In Argentina, where he grew up, and in Buenos Aires, there are more psychiatrists per person than anywhere else in the world. Now, the Holy Father acknowledges this, that when he was younger, he went to a therapist. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I hope it was a Christian therapist.
I hope so.
There's some good ones out
there.
Right,
there's some good ones. But also, there's a lot of therapists out there who are secular humanists, most of them. I'm just being honest, okay? But here's my point. Holy Father, please don't get angry at the media. Just answer their questions. And when the media asks you a question about Vigano, this is changing the subject, but there's a good example. Answer the question, did you know about McCarrick? And as Father Joe Fessio says, be a man and answer the question. Now, you might think I'm beating up on the Holy Father. No, I'm trying to speak with frankness and respect to the Pope to say the people are looking for direction right now. They're looking for answers. And when you give ambiguous answers, people are going, I'm out of here. The Catholic Church doesn't teach this anymore. Yes, it does. But in their mind, because you haven't clearly answered the question, people are leaving. So I'm just giving you 40 years of my life of evangelization that giving people ambiguous answers to questions never brings them to Christ. You know what it does? It makes them confused. And
it
confused.
Pushes them away from the church.
It does, Jess. And so here's
I wish the Holy Father would have said, I wish he would have said to seek a Catholic psychiatrist,
yes,
or a Catholic psychologist or a Catholic therapist,
yeah,
because when he said that they should consult a psychiatrist for counseling children with the same sex attraction, again, most of these guys are secular humanists. They're going to affirm that lifestyle. And so, I wish he would have said, here's what I would have said. And I think this would have been, if he would have had more sufficient reflection, he could have said, I would suggest that parents consult the Catholic psychiatrist, psychologist, or therapist, and the sacraments.
Yes.
Their kids need the sacraments, sacramental grace, to have their mind illuminated, to have their will strengthened, to have their conscience formed, so they can break this diabolical stronghold. It's not either or, it's both and. And Terry, another thing that it caused me
frustrated.
Heartburn.
Yeah.
When he said that parents have a right to recognize that son is homosexual, that daughter's as homosexual. Here's something that as Catholics, we don't do what they do in AA. In AA, you got to go there and raise your hand and say, hi, I'm Jesse Romero. I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not an alcoholic. That's why I disagree fundamentally with the way AA starts their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I've never been there, but if I was an alcohol, if I was had that drinking problem, I would say, hi, my name is Jesse Romero. I'm a child of God who has an inclination towards alcohol. Guess what? I get thrown out of the meeting,
yeah,
because you're not supposed to say that. But that's it. In other words, what I'm saying is, we don't identify ourselves by our sin. You know, people don't walk around saying, I'm a masturbator. I'm a porn peeper. You know, I'm a fornicator. People don't walk around society identifying themselves by their sin. That's not Christianity. We identify ourselves as children of God. And yes, we admit that we have an inclination to certain sins.
Well said. Hey, I want to recommend for the men's conference that we had 2 weeks ago, we have a women's conference coming up on the 7th of September. Go to our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Sign up your wife to come. You won't miss that. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be back with much more.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
There's a well-written article called Pope Francis, "If We Saw Irregular Couples, Gays as God's Children, Things Would Change a Lot." And it's a journalist, a television Latin journalist, Valentina Alazraki, who's asking the Holy Father several questions. It was on May 28th. And we'll just continue just filching from some of the just some of the more important points of this article. The Pope told Valentina, he says, "You can't throw out anyone out of the family or make life impossible because of that." Again, I don't think any Catholic wants to throw any practicing homosexual out of the church. So I think that's kind of they call that in a court of law, red herring. That's, you know, that's kind of just, you're trying to avoid, you're throwing something out there to avoid answering the question. It's called a red herring in a court of law. You're not answering the question. You're trying to make us go down a different rabbit hole. And so the Pope was referring to an August 2018 exchange that he had with a journalist that stirred widespread indignation amongst LGBT activists. While he was coming back from the World Conference of Families in Ireland, he said in this interview, he said, quote, that much can be done through psychiatry, close quote, when parents notice homosexual behaviors in their children. But when the LGBTQ activists all over the world through social media, when they objected, Vatican officials later released a scrubbed, that means erased, text that removed the reference to psychiatry. Oh, Terry, here's my comment. That kind of makes me sad because this shows...
Political correctness.
Called political, exactly, PC. In other words, the Vatican should have dug in their heels and not removed that statement from their press release.
Right.
But this is an example of allowing the leftist in our society, the modernist, and allowing the leftist media to bully you. And you caved in instead of doubling down. You know who doubles down when they're wrong? The leftist. When Ocasio or Cortez or Biden or Bernie Sanders, when they say stuff that's wrong, which is constantly, or Planned Parenthood, do they apologize, Terry? They double down. They repeat their statement. The Vatican should have doubled down, said, yeah, we said it. They need to go to a psychiatrist, but let me modify that. Let me throw an adjective. He should be a Catholic psychiatrist.
Absolutely. Who believes in original sin.
Exactly. And so it says, although he told journalists in 2018 that parents may consult a psychiatrist in their children's case, the Pope told the journalists, quote, "I should have said professional. I said psychiatrist. I meant a professional." Well, I want to stop there. Psychiatrists are professionals. It's a synonym. So the Pope should have just doubled down. He should not have kowtowed to these liberals. He should have said, you know what? Yeah, I did say that, but let me become more specific. It should be a Catholic psychiatrist. Now, the Pope did object to the news headlines, where the headlines read, "Pope sends homosexuals to psychiatrists," and the Pope insisted in this interview that it was not true. Again, he repeated that homosexuals are children of God, and he objected to having these words taken out of context. And while the Pope repeated that he wants to tell homosexuals that they deserve a family, this doesn't mean approving homosexual acts. Far from it. So that's a good statement. That's comporting with 2,000 years of teaching. So, Terry, go ahead.
Jesse, I want to give the Pope credit on this statement. He was right from the Catechism. "The Catholic Church teaches that homosexual acts are acts of grave depravity, calling such acts as intrinsically disordered." A lot of people don't like to hear that, Jess. They want that removed out of the catechism. "Such acts are contrary to the natural law," thank you, Holy Father, "in that they close the sexual act to the gift of life." Very well said. "The church, moreover, teaches that God does not create any man or woman with attraction to the same sex." Father Martin, listen to this. calling such an inclination objectively disordered, as is in the case with any other kind of sin, be it murder, theft, adultery. Christianity holds the followers of Christ must love the sinner while hating the sin. Well said. The same is true for those who commit homosexual sins. The church teaches that people who struggle with same-sex attraction must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. I would agree with all that. Now, John, Jesse, all our lines are all lit up for people wanting to, many people wanting to
sure,
call in.
No problem.
But I just want to give him credit. Go to the scripture. Go to the catechism, Holy Father. You can't go wrong. But when you answer questions with ambiguous statements, that's when we get confused as a church. So I'm just giving you.
And it's good. I'm glad. All we have to do, Pope, bishops, cardinals, priests, lay people, when somebody asks you a question, just lean on the teachings of the church instead of inventing something out of the top of your head. I like what the Pope did there.
Yeah.
He went to 23, 57, 58, and 59
right.
of the catechism, and he put them together.
We compliment him for that.
Yeah, and that's all we have to do when we're being interviewed by some secular humanist. Here's the last thing before we go to the phones.
Yeah.
As Catholics, by the way, I want to say, we do treat homosexuals with compassion
absolutely.
And sensitivity. Absolutely. We don't do what this other religion,
yeah.
Islam, we don't hang them on telephone
nope.
poles.
Nope.
We don't throw homosexuals off buildings
nope.
blindfolded with
we
their hands
them.
Tied behind their back.
That's right.
We don't behead homosexuals. No. Actually, we as Catholics treat a large percentage of the homosexual population dying of AIDS for free in Catholic AIDS hospices. That's what we do. Terry?
Yeah, talk is cheap. The supply exceeds the demand. Anonymous in California, line two. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hello, Terry and Jesse.
God bless you.
You guys, I tried to get through yesterday. The devil, I was sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I knew I had to come home and call you guys.
Good.
And I could not get through.
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of challenges.
I know it was evil.
Well, what's on your mind today?
Well, what it is I want to tell everybody out there,
yeah.
and I know you guys have, this book.
Yeah, we do.
Taylor Marshall's Infiltration.
Right. Yeah, we read
it. The Plot to Destroy the Church from Within.
Yes.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. When I heard this book, and I've ordered it right away from Sophia Press.
Yes.
I think everybody should order this book.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The thing that really got me was the fact, because I'm very leery of things
yes.
because of just names, people out there. But when it has forwarded by Bishop Antoninus Snyder.
Athanasius Snyder.
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
Antoninus
Correct.
Snyder, I know of him. I know him. I
sure.
mean, this is a holy, beautiful bishop.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why I got the book. I have never done this, I don't think, in my life, read a book in 2 days. I got it on Saturday.
Oh.
It is finished
yeah.
as of yesterday.
Good for you.
Everybody needs to have this book.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It lays out the whole story.
He connects the dots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the most incredible thing. I personally am a little sick over all this, but people need to wake up because, like somebody said a long time ago, we are frogs that are in the water. We're in cold water. We're put on the stove, and we're slowly being the heat turned up.
Yep. Well
this
said.
This is exactly what this book is talking about.
Yep. Yeah, well, and you know what? Our Lady said it, Our Lady of Fatima, and I know that Dr. Marshall quotes Our Lady of Fatima, that we need to live
yep.
the Fatima message, our daily rosary. He always says, if you're not praying the rosary, don't listen to my show.
Yep.
Same thing here. We need
yep.
to be action. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for Holy Mother. So, Anonymous, thank you for sharing that message about Dr. Marshall's book. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, okay.
Got another caller, Terry.
Okay, let's go to John. In the Midwest, I believe. John, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I might be a little bit nitpicky about this. I don't know. But
that's all
want
right.
you to catechize.
Sure.
I want you to catechize me
Hit
on
me.
Something.
Hit me.
Lately, everybody, you know, I just hear it all the time. Doesn't make any difference who they're talking about. I always hear, well, we're all children of God. So I want to know. How do you become who are the children of God, and how do you become a child of God?
What great question.
Because you guys are busy. So
that's a great question.
I'll put off
okay.
and I'll listen for the
right,
thanks, John.
Thanks.
The classical Catholic teaching on how you become a child of God is through the sacrament of baptism. That's defined Catholic teaching.
That's it.
Before you're baptized, you're a creature of God. God created you, but you become a child of God. You receive divine sonship at the sacrament of baptism. Now, some of the church fathers, they will describe it this way, that non-baptized people are natural children of God. In fact, I read some of the church, but baptized people under the Trinitarian formula are supernatural children of God. Yeah. So here's the distinction. That we'll say, okay, yeah, Muslims and other people, Buddhists, they're children of God, but they're natural children of God. But when you receive the sacrament of baptism, you go from a natural child of God to a supernatural child of God. Now you're destined for heaven, and you receive divine sonship.
That's right.
So that's the way I would.
And you know, Jesse, you're quoting Dr. Scott Hahn's series on Become a Child of God. You know, yeah. It's so beautiful and supernatural.
Well, I was
life.
Born by him, Terry. So it's it's
pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Hey, just to make a note here, we sent out an email blast about how Dr. Scott Hahn got his start 30 years ago in a Catholic evangelization. I went on to ask you folks to promote Virgin Most Powerful. When you get that on social media, pass it on to your friends, because we believe that that's going to be a good opportunity for people to be introduced to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jesse, we're going to have to take a quick break, but I want to remind everybody about the article you talked about earlier, Renew America's on. It's about the Bernardine legacy. Now, this Cardinal Bernardine from Chicago died in the late 90s, but he's the guy that was the president of the Bishops' Conference in the 1970s who pushed for Holy Communion in the hand. It got rejected, and then he did some crazy things at the Bishops' Conference to slide it through. And I see a lot of sad things that go on. His life.
He was also good friends with Saul Alinsky, Terry.
Yeah, Saul Alinsky. And also many of the bishops that he promoted are bishops who also got into sexual misconduct, like himself. Birds of the feather flocking together. Why are we bringing this
also,
up?
He also at his funeral, he had the Masons. The Masons were there, and they gave him an award at his posthumously. He also had a Methodist homosexual choir that he asked for. It was already part of his will to sing at his funeral mass, homosexual men.
And James Hitchcock, the great historian, wrote the article about how he promoted liberal causes, even attacks on the Catholic Church teaching. This is the model for the bishops that are in all kinds of problems with morality. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, I just want to make one more comment about Pope Francis, and we pray for him every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament, for our Pope, bishops, and priests, because it commemorates Holy Thursday, the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. And we're talking about this article. I just want to throw one more thing that we had Bishop Athanasius Snyder on our show a couple months ago when he visited the Holy Father on his ad liminal visit. And it was a question that he asked the Holy Father that week the Pope said something that was ambiguous at best when he said that all other religions are willed by God. And Pope Francis made that statement. So when Bishop Athanasius was with the Pope, he just said, Holy Father, can I ask you a question? Yeah. He says, did you mean the permissive will of God when you said that all religions are willed by God? And the Holy Father said, absolutely. Then he says, well, could you tell everybody that? Because that's not what you said. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And you see, that's, to me, again, a problem. Because he told Bishop Athanasius, you tell the people. Well, I got to say, as the Vicar of Christ, Holy Father, we are looking to you for direction on Catholic teachings. And when you say something that's not what you said is not what you meant, I think it's really just man up type thing. Speak and say, hey, you know, when I said this is what I meant. It was the permissive will of God. Am I asking for too much?
Because most people think that he meant the direct will
yes.
of God because they don't know how to parse the two.
Right.
They haven't been taught.
Right.
You got the direct will of God and you got the permissive will of God. And most Catholics, when they heard that on media, they're saying, wow, God directly willed Islam and Buddhism. Wow. So God created all this confusion of religions, just babble. No, he didn't. He permitted it, you know, because God, he uses the sins of men.
And God will, Hitler to do what he did.
Yeah, and God will, keep moving on salvation history to its final point using the sins of men permissively.
Yep.
But he didn't direct this babble that we have today, Terry.
Well, I just wanted to make that comment.
Just mention real quick on this before we go to the last article.
You got it, buddy. Hit me.
You got to read Matt Abbott's article, Renew America. It's called Agnes and the Bernardine Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
This is written by a good faithful Catholic, Stephen Brady. He's founder of Roman Catholic Faithful.
Yep.
It shows a lot of things, the way Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, there are allegations of him being a homosexual predator and a rapist. And this was hidden for decades, and now they've actually got the goods on him. They got the evidence. I mean, he's went to his eternal reward.
Yep.
I hope he repented of all this stuff
too.
Because you cannot get into heaven lying and not confessing and having contrition for these mortal sins. And they got him cold, Terry, with some of the new evidence that's come out in this article. You guys may want to read it. It's too long. We don't have time to go through it.
One more thought I'm just going to mention because I'm in Los Angeles. When Cardinal Bernardine was dying of cancer, my cardinal here in Los Angeles, Cardinal Roger Mahoney, was one of the last prelates to go visit him and was told that he needed to pass on the baton of the legacy of Cardinal Bernardine through Cardinal Mahoney. And I would just say, Jesse, judging on what I've seen, he's done a pretty good job of passing on Bernardine's teachings. So I'm sorry. Now he's retired. He's 82 years old, Cardinal Mahoney, but look what Catholic Church has affected. We have a $660 million amount of money that was paid out for sexual misconduct in our diocese. But if you look at all the others, we total over $1 billion in Los Angeles. So the proof's in the pudding. I'm done.
Yeah, Terry, you can tell somebody's friends by who they hang out with.
Of course, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are.
Cardinal Bernardine received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Clinton.
That makes sense.
Of course, because, all of them were friends of Saul Alinsky.
Sure.
and he was honored posthumously by the Masons. Terry, if I get honored posthumously by the Masons,
I'm going to be worried about
kick my coffin.
Yeah,
kick my coffin. Okay, and don't throw dirt on me. Throw poop on me. All right. If you what Jess has got honored by the Masons when he died, what he was living a double life. Colonel Bernardine, he was also a friend of Call to Action, a dissident.
Just the facts.
Yeah. And he allowed them to operate on church property over in Chicago.
Yep.
And he also went so far as to speak out against then Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz for excommunicating Call to Action members in his own diocese, Lincoln, Nebraska. Bernardine went out and spoke out against him. So basically, history has taught us that this cardinal usually came down on the liberal side of every issue. Did. Let's move on.
Hey, Jesse, one last comment. I can't let it go.
Okay.
I was recording a priest retreat in New York, Cardinal O'Connor, and he told the story. My guy that I was paying to record it, the cardinal said, turn the recorder off. I don't want this recorded. And my employee left it on, so I heard it. He said when Cardinal Bernardine wanted to come out with the seamless garment, he wanted to equate all the moral issues, abortion, nuclear war, immigration, all these things on one level. Cardinal O'Connor said, no, I'm not going to do it when the Cardinal Bernardine called him. And he said, not only am I not going to do it, if you come out with that, I am going to oppose you. And why do I say this?
All the seamless garment theory.
Yes. But You see, Cardinal O'Connor in New York wouldn't buy it. See, so we've had all kinds of fractions in the church. Jess, I'll just leave it on this. It's time to expose the errors and replace it with the gospel, the refreshing gospel of Jesus Christ. And if it means lay people to do that, so be it. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, Terry, you know, the one last sentence in that article just backs up what you said.
Yeah.
It said that Cardinal Edward Gagnon, one of the good guys who died in 2007, It says, he gave me, Stephen Brady, the following account of his conversation with the cardinal.
Yeah.
Cardinal Bernardine.
Yeah.
He said this. Cardinal Gagnon said, the cardinal stated that the Holy See had received hundreds of letters regarding the pedophilia problem in the U.S. and that it was beyond the control of the Holy See. This was under John Paul II. As the church is in schism, and the American bishops will not obey the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II.
Wow.
And I also heard that from Dr. Vince Fortinace, who spent 5 years in the Vatican, St. John Paul II.
Yeah.
He was talking to the Pope one day, and he was saying, hey, why don't you do this, that, and the other? Yeah. And Pope John Paul II told our friend, Dr. Vince Fortinace, a brain surgeon, he says, I write stuff and I say something, nobody listens to me. And here, Cardinal Gagnon, one of the good guys, is affirming that. He's saying, guess what? We knew about this stuff under Pope John Paul II, and he goes, it was beyond our control. Why? He says, the American bishops would not obey Pope John Paul II.
That's just a fact. Now, this is the same cardinal, Jesse, who helped Pope John Paul II see the light of Masons inside the Vatican. We've talked about this, okay? So this is a guy who's done a three-year study back in the late 70s, in 75, 76, 78, Pope Paul VI had him do this study and found out that there were Masons in the hierarchy of the church. And back in 1981, finally, John Paul II said, look, I'm going to get rid of these guys, at least one of them. Jess, let's move on to our last topic, brother, because this
Terry,
is music.
A lot of people don't realize that the power of music, especially as it relates to the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Yep.
And there's a renowned U.S. Catholic hymnist.
Yep.
That composes songs to celebrate pro-homosexual Pride Month. His name is David Haas. He's 62 years old. He's very pro-homosexual. And he's one of the most prominent Catholic liturgical musicians, post-Vatican II. And you can see even on his Facebook pages, under related pages, he has Father James Martin. He has a lot of his posts.
Yep.
And so, you know, he's written a lot of songs that are sung at Mass in the last 30, 40 years, post-Vatican II in the English-speaking church. And he put on his social media, he wrote a refrain to celebrate Pride Month.
What does that tell you?
So basically, he wrote a song for the homosexual community, which his posts included an image with rainbow colors with the word Pride written across it in bold white letters. And of course, he got called on it, so he's now deleted his post on Facebook. But it was captured by LifeSite News, and David Haas wrote this because it's they still have it. They got a copy of it before he deleted it. It says, quote, "For Pride Month, last night I, David Haas, composed a song refrain based on Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And he provided the text, and he says that you can use this with his permission during the duration of Pride Month, which is June, given to us by Obama and Biden. The lyrics include this, quote, "You have created every part of me. You've made me wonderful. You've made me wonderful," close quote. Now, Dr. Peter Swoznaski, he's a musician and he's Orthodox. He's an author of several books on the liturgy. He told LifeSite News that David Haas, this text that he wrote for the Pride Month LGBT community, he says was scurrilous and blasphemous.
That's right.
Scurrilous because people know what he means. They're going to take that phrase, quote, that God created, quote, every part of me, close quote. The homosexuals, the Pride LGBT people are going to take that every part of me in the song in a predictably vulgar direction. That's what Dr. Swoznaki said. And he says it's blasphemous because David Haas is attributing to God deviations and distortions that are not part of God's work, but the result of sin, collective and personal. And this famous liturgist, Dr. Peter Swoznaski, he also said that Catholics should not use David Haas's music because of his public support of the LGBT agenda, if not for reasons of taste. A lot of his music is just badly, poorly written. I agree with him, Tim.
I do too, Jesse. And the psalm that he responded to has nothing to do with same-sex marriage. Just on the
positive. That's what he said, right?
That's what he said. That's what he said. It has nothing to do with it. Come on. So here's the point. We're living in these times. What can we do? Action item. Pray. Pray our rosary. Get the Mass. Make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Reparation. Remember what Our Lady said at Fatima? More souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices for them. So we're not just exposing these errors. We're asking you to be part of the solution here at Virgin Most Powerful. What do? You lift it up in prayer. Jess, give us your thoughts.
Well, I'll give it to St. Father De Pio. Yeah. He says, Catholics, pray, hope, and don't worry.
I love it.
Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Close quote. You know something?
Tell me.
I don't care if you're 5 or 105. God chose you from all eternity to be where you're at right now at this time in history. So change the world. Be holy or die trying. Or as St. Catherine of Siena, become holy and set the world on fire.
That's right. And Jess, I always end it. What state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. What state don't you want to live in? Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Okay? If you're in mortal sin, get to confession ASAP. Don't wait another minute.
You notice we say go to confession, not go to a professional therapist? Get your sins forgiven.
We didn't say go to a psychiatrist.
No. Right? Go to a priest and go to the sacraments. Eucharist. Receive our Lord often. May God bless you and your family in full sheen.
Pray a rosary. Don't listen to us.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.